Good evening, America, and good afternoon, Australia. You're back listening to Tony Lontis live on Radio Tony Everyday Business. And we have an amazing guest for you today, Jacqueline McLeod. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about her in a moment. But for those listening live, Paleo is in the background, my VA, ready to send you any links that you request to both Jacqueline's and my information. If you miss any of that or you're listening whilst you're driving, jump onto radiotony.com, look under co-hosts, and you'll find the links to our guests' information today. You'll also find all the information you need about the Radio Tony shows. You're listening to BBS radio.com from the US. And I wanted to start today with a little quote that is a favorite of our guest today. And of course, it's from Brené Brown. So I'm always keen to talk about Brené's work. So it's called Love. We cultivate love when we allow our most vulnerable and powerful selves to be deeply seen and known, and when we honor the spiritual connection that grows from that offering with trust, respect, kindness, and affection. Love is not something we give or get. It is something we nurture and grow. A connection that can only be cultivated between two people when it exists between exists rather within each one of them. We can only love others as much as we love ourselves. Shame, blame, disrespect, betrayal, and the withholding of affection damage the roots from which love grows. Love can only survive these injuries if they are acknowledged, healed, and whole. And that's from Brené Brown. Our guest today is the gorgeous Jacqueline McLeod. And before I introduce her, let me tell you a little bit about her story. Jacqueline was a health professional and clinician until her lifelong passion for self-development led her into studies of tarot, astrology, spirituality, and alternative health. Her life purpose is to assist in achieving a balanced society by empowering the feminine in both men and women. This has led to the publication of her book, Feminine Masculine Balance, which introduces a paradigm shift that is a pathway to more peace, progressive, and nourished society. She is continuing to teach and explore this interest through her online course, blogs, and social media. With an ongoing interest in painting creatively, Jacqueline owns a studio and teaching space overlooking her beautiful garden in Melbourne, Australia. Her greatest joys are her two adult children and grandchildren. Good afternoon, Jacqueline, and welcome to Radio Tony.
Good afternoon, Tony. Thank you for inviting me, and I'm delighted to be here.
I can't wait to get into our conversation today. I thought we'd start at the beginning and about your childhood and how that perhaps shaped the woman you are today.
I was born just after the Second World War, and during my childhood, there were many patriarchal attitudes and comments being made, both in person, in the media, films, advertising, and so forth, including using the term man to describe all people as if women didn't exist. I then studied dentistry at a time when most students and teachers were male. And I did have a lot of fun, but I also had to put up with quite a lot of prejudice. And the effects of that can accumulate over time. However, I did realise that the patriarchal society wasn't much good for men either, because my peers were in the ballot to fight in Vietnam, and none of them wanted to go off and kill people.
It must have been, I can't imagine what that would have been like for young men who were forced to go and fight in a war that really had nothing to do with them. I can't imagine what that was like as a mother, a wife. It's very difficult to understand in this day and age what that might have been like.
Yes.
Jacqueline, something changed in the 1990s, and what was that for you?
I started studying astrology and tarot, and astrology continues to offer me insights into who I am because it opens up an exciting and profound world of self-discovery. And through its abundance and complexity, it has helped me build self-knowledge and also provide a graphic understanding of how we are all unique. And similarly, tarot has supported me in my life journey, but along with astrology, has given me the has provided me with a means of helping other people. But underneath all that valuable complexity are the feminine and masculine polarities, which can also be described as energies, qualities, attributes, or principles. We tend to use the terms interchangeably.
Yeah. And this was like quite a turning point in your journey, this discovery of feminine, masculine energy, wasn't it, Jacqueline?
It was, although it actually took quite a while for me to develop this paradigm shift. But one day I was looking at the table, and it was a two-column table of the feminine and masculine qualities or polarities, and I realised that in our current society, feminine qualities are not valued and respected equally to the masculine. For example, feminine qualities such as intuition, emotion, and imagination are really equally as important as the masculine rationality, logic, and analysis. And so I realised that we actually needed to empower those qualities. You know, it's not a matter of denigrating the others, it's a matter of empowering the feminine to that level.
And then it's a lot about, sorry, go on, Jacqueline.
No, I was just going to say about my second turning point, but you can
say what. No, you go ahead, that's fine. I've got another question for you.
The second turning point was when I was looking at this table, and this was actually 10 years later, in 2014. And I thought, I wonder if we could put a centre column in this table to sort of create a connection between the polarities, and then I went on to sort of blending them. And this table, which I think you might have a copy of.
I do.
Yes, it became the basis of my book, which is an introduction to feminine masculine balance, and the concept continues to evolve. So it's been a very long process in developing and explaining and evolving, and I think it'll continue on for a long time ahead too.
Jacqueline, I'm just going to pop up that slide if I can get it to work for us now. I'm hoping that you can see on your screen the blending of the feminine masculine principles. Has it come up on your screen?
It's on my screen, yes.
It's on your screen? So can you just quickly explain this beautiful table for our listeners and watchers today?
Can the listeners see it too?
We're going to tell them where to get the link. The watchers, sure. They can see it.
Sure. We've got three columns, and I only use lines and numbers for ease of reading and discussion. Uh-huh. And the left-hand column is the feminine, for example, cyclical, intuitive, emotional, imaginative, holistic, reflective, and there's actually 17 of them.
Yes.
The right-hand column is the masculine, so these are the polarities, linear, rational, logical, analytical, hierarchical, and so forth. And then the centre one is the balance, so that's spiral, sensible, aware, knowing, integrative, proactive. And they actually, the table works in rows because the feminine is black, the masculine's white, and there are shades of grey in between. So it's not a matter of just being cyclical or spiral or linear. It's they're actually symbols. Just being intuitive, just being sensible, just being rational. It can be a bit of a blend of all of them. And then they can also work vertically. And, in fact, you'll often find that various characteristics will be playing out in your life, you know, in different ways. So it interacts in many ways.
Absolutely. For listeners today, you'll be able to get a copy of this wonderful table from RadioTony.com. Look under co-host for Jacqueline. Paleo, who is listening online, will be able to direct you towards that chart. I'm going to take it down so I can continue my wonderful conversation with Jacqueline. Okay, so I guess, Jacqueline, the idea basically is that both women and men should have combinations of those feminine and masculine, and perhaps we should stop calling them specifically feminine and masculine, but rather traits of a good human, perhaps.
Yes, I intentionally, you know, some people have said to me I should have called them yin and yang. But the reason two reasons I didn't do it. One, yin and yang are foreign terms and a lot of people don't know which is which. The second yes. term, I really did want to break down this idea that feminine is a synonymous with women and masculine is synonymous with men.
Yes.
And we really Absolutely. Need to keep changing that men can confidently express feminine qualities. But also we are now realising that, again, just like there's a whole blend from one end to the other, there's also that occurs with gender. And although the feminine and masculine qualities are not, we're not talking about gender, they're very closely related to gender. And so we need to really acknowledge that people can be on that spectrum from being very much a man or very much a woman or having a sort of gender blend in between.
In between.
Or, in fact, having no gender. Some people really don't identify with gender at all. So that's the other value in it, that we are actually people first and gender, race, religion, whatever
Absolutely.
Second.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's a wonderful conversation to be having in 2021 and going forward, Jacqueline, this idea that we are uniquely human first and foremost outside of what gender we're born. I think it's a wonderful way for people to feel supported and accepted, and a wonderful way for humanity to look and treat each other. I want to go back. So this whole idea of helping dismantle the masculine-dominated society or rich white male privilege, as it's sometimes referred to, and replacing it with a more balanced view, has become your life purpose, hasn't it, Jacqueline?
It has, although I have to say there are a lot of men in every culture that are stuck in this man box. I don't think it's just rich white males, and there are
Agreed.
White males that are not like that. So
yes,
there's a study that was done by Harman, Harrison and Barker in 2017 on what it was like to be a young man in the US, the UK and Mexico. And there are subsequent studies that have been done in other countries, including Australia. But they name the man box, which is don't act like a girl. Don't, you've always got to be in control. Don't ask for help. Don't be too nice and kind. All this sort of, macho male man box stuff.
Yes.
And if it really operates from that right-hand column, boys being stuck in that right-hand column and not balancing out with the feminine qualities. Yes. Now, none of those qualities are good or bad. They're all just
all qualities,
which when they're expressed appropriately of enormous value. But when you get a lineup of those masculine qualities, not balanced by the feminine, this is what I call masculine dominated. And it leads to violence, poverty, inequality and toxic relationships.
I've heard the phrase coined in relation to men that they and this is in relation to the numbers of suicides in our male population, that they would rather die than ask someone for help. So we need to be having these conversations. We need to be making it okay for men to talk about what's worrying them, what issues they have, and be vulnerable and open to those conversations, because it's killing them in record numbers having this male-dominated ethos throughout humanity. It's no good for men. It's no good for women, granted, but it's really bad for men, isn't it, Jacqueline?
Well, it is. But of course, as you say, women can get caught up in this too, particularly if they're working in masculine-dominated jobs in corporations and things like that. So it really does affect everyone. And then women get to a point where they won't ask for help, and they, you know, think it's weak to be, well, weak is fine. Yes. You know, they think it's bad to be weak or to be sensitive or to be compassionate. So, yes, it really is across the board with everyone.
And it becomes bound up in shame as well.
It does.
They're ashamed to ask for help, or they're ashamed to show their emotions, female or male, or in between. And shame is never a good place for anyone to be and feel. It's a destructive feeling, Jacqueline, and it's not helpful for anyone, particularly humanity. So I know that this is your life purpose, and you've got this amazing book, which we'll tell people about later on. Do you believe that we will see some of the, like, I believe that we're seeing some of those shifts happen, but I believe that they need to happen at a faster rate. But then again, I'm an impatient person. How do you see the shifts happening across humanity at the moment, Jacqueline?
I do see they're happening because, for instance, women are getting into the workplace, and even though a lot of them have to behave like men, there's still that feminine influence. And you can give a lot of examples of how there has been that huge shift, even in my lifetime, about things. So yes, it's happening.
Thankfully.
But I think we're a bit too caught up in gender. And the problem with being caught up in gender, at this current understanding of gender, it becomes a bit of them and us, and therefore adversarial. Once we overcome that and just see, as we were talking before, see ourselves as people being able to express feminine, masculine energies and all that goes in between, we can move a lot quicker and a lot further forward. One of the things that gives me, I've got this rather controversial chapter which says that true democracy is politicians collaborating with everyone, with one another.
I love it.
Whole population. True democracy is politicians collaborating with one another to achieve the best result for the whole population.
Amen.
Yes. Okay. Now, I believe that one of the ways that this is going to happen, I've got my ideas of how it should happen, but one of the ways it's going to happen is that parents, many parents, are now sharing the parenting. Now, to do that successfully, you have to be collaborative. That means the children, and they're now getting into their 20s, these children have grown up with collaboration being the norm. Now, our political system at the moment has a two-party system. We need to get rid of that because it encourages adversarial behaviour, not collaborative behaviour. And so what we need is politicians who are required to be highly trained in collaboration and represent their electorates, not their party. And therefore,
not their self-interest.
And not their self-interest, but it comes with the parties, you know. So, and I can see that that would be quite that's part of the driving force. Also, this shared parenting, because children are growing up with a much more balanced approach to life, because, you know, a lot of men who are sharing the parenting are exhibiting feminine qualities. And women are given permission to exhibit their masculine qualities within that relationship.
And that's the balance that is the focus of your book, isn't it, Jacqueline?
It is.
That we need balance versus male-female dominance. Either in its extremes is the issue. It's the balance and the collaboration that will bring harmony and peace and abundance for humanity.
Sure.
And that's particularly why you said about writing your book, isn't it, Jacqueline, that you wanted to people to explore a balanced view of feminine and masculine versus the extremes of either or. Now, I'm going to, this might be a little controversial, and we don't mean to ostracize men in any way, but I know that Jacqueline believes, and I do too, that violence and war, domestic violence and murder are predominantly, they're not always, a masculine energy or a masculine action, aren't they, Jacqueline?
Well, you see, this is again where we don't want to see masculine as synonymous with men.
Yeah.
Okay, so once we see masculine, that any person can once men stop identifying as just being solely masculine and see themselves as people, and they can then not necessarily feel guilty about the fact that
they're compassionate.
It's a masculine-dominated thing because it's not a necessarily a gender thing. We can actually be violated in many ways. So a masculine-dominated society, commonly known as the patriarchy, sees violence as physical violence, but it can be racial, it can be financial, it can be emotional, mental, technological. There are so many different ways of violating people. And but never, and so it's any gender can express this violence, but it is a lineup of these masculine energies. And to give you an example of this, and then I'll give you an example of how we can resolve conflict peacefully.
Yes,
but to give you an example, and I will use, it's sort of easy because people understand this quite well. It's been in the press so often. Where there's a man who has analysed a rational, logical belief that he is superior to women. Now, superiority is hierarchical, so we've actually looked at the row 2, 3, 4, and 5, has this belief. The thing is that men are actually only physically stronger than women. They're not superior in any other way except physical strength. So that belief is going to be challenged when a woman proves herself to be good at something else or whatever, you know.
Yes.
And to protect that belief, they react, which is row 7, in a defensive, now I'm just going down the rows, in a defensive, independent way. That's the reaction. Then they act in a detachment and strength to try to control not only their own lives, but the other person. So it doesn't even have to be a woman, and it doesn't have to be a man doing it. Woman, but we gave that example. Now, this is fueled by anger. But the thing about anger is it can actually be destructive, and in this case, it's destructive.
Yeah.
Or it can be constructive. And I like to give the example of the Luke Batty story because for those in America who may not have heard of it, Luke Batty was killed by his father in public on a cricket ground. And his father was in a destructive, angry rage.
Yep.
Luke's mother obviously would be angry about that. I mean, apart from the grief, but part of grief is anger. She used her anger, which is an energy that gets things done, to work towards resolving the issues of domestic violence.
Amazing thing.
But that is constructive anger.
Yep.
Now, the other thing I'd like to point out is that historically, the main difference between women and men are physically stronger, women can give birth, okay? So historically, when patrilineal inheritance came in, which is millennia, it's a long, 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 long time ago, so men could be sure they knew who their children were, they started controlling women's sexuality. And therefore, they're controlling their lives. And of course, they were able to do it because of their superior physical strength. But then they proceeded to try to prove that women, that they were superior in every other way, which they're not, and it's, mm-hmm. you know, it's nonsense. They put on all sorts of antics, wasted lots of time and money on research and all sorts of things to try to prove their superiority. They've never succeeded because it's not true. And another thing they did was denigrate, in terms of language, they denigrated everything feminine. So that means strength is good, weakness is bad, independence is good, dependence is bad. And then of course, there's these lovely words like master, mistress, bachelor, spinster, actor, actress. Yes. So I like to tell people I have two university degrees. I have a spinster of dental science and I have a mistress of science. Just as a joke.
Love it. I love it.
And so often you find that feminine words are seen as bad in our society and masculine words are seen as good in our society. And we need to break all that down and just see them as neutral. They're just totally neutral.
I was going to say, Jacqueline, until you made that point about your Bachelor of Science, I've never thought about that wording. And so now it will be forever in my mind. Why do we use that word? Why is it appropriate for, like, there should be another generic word that would convey that you've done 4 to 6 years of intense study in whatever speciality it is. That's now that I'm aware of it, and I guess that's why I love to have these conversations, because often you don't know what you're unaware of until someone makes you aware of it. And for men and women who are listening to the program today, we would challenge you to start thinking and listening about the wording that we use in relation to a whole range of things. And so, Jacqueline, what you're telling me is some of these ideas or concepts started thousands of years ago, and they've just been perpetuated century after century after century till we bring us to the current time. We're in all sorts of mess. And you actually believe that if we change our thinking around these ideas of feminine, masculine, or just traits of a good human being, that we can change the way in which we live politically, spiritually, and across the world in terms of poverty, et cetera, et cetera, just by changing the way that we think about traits of humanity, yeah?
That's right, because we actually can also resolve conflict peacefully. And one chapter of mine is disagreement is inevitable. We're not going to agree with everybody, but war is not inevitable.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay. But we can also resolve that. We can work towards, you know, we can use these characteristics in the left and the right to resolve conflict peacefully and disagreements peacefully. And also accept, once, you see, the masculine is controlling, and controlling is supposed to be controlling your own life, not other people's.
Yes.
The feminine is allowing people to control their own lives and your own life.
They need to meet in the middle for the
blend
to happen.
Trust. And the problem is there are a lot of people who don't trust people enough, because probably because of the lack of emotional maturity, don't trust people enough to actually allow them to live their own lives. And once we get to that point where we just allow people to live their own lives, we can then, when there's a disagreement, we can be proactive in just collaborating with them to agree to disagree and sort things out and, you know, don't have to control people.
There's always a peaceful path versus an angry path.
Yeah.
So if we take recent events, the rioters or mob that marched on the Capitol in Washington recently, if someone had spoken to them calmly, and acknowledged their anger and angst and their desire to change. But if someone had done that in a peaceful way, then that wouldn't have happened. And that's a perfect example of being able to balance those energies, isn't it, Jacqueline?
I think with those people, you'd have to take a few steps back because I think...
Well, yes.
Yes. But I think when they were children, if they'd learnt as children that you don't resolve disagreement through violence,
yes.
You know, we need to, yes. I think they were just on a course and it was, but it is true, you know, that we don't. And I mean, you can, for example, the whole issue on in Iraq when there was this talk of mass destruction. We had some countries who wanted to negotiate. They did not want to go to war. Other countries who felt they had to go to war. But it could have been negotiated. You know, it really wasn't necessary to go and kill people over it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm. Which leads back into the power of this discussion and the fact that we don't have to have war. We don't have to have violence. It's actually about understanding where the anger comes from, where the angst comes from, and working out a peaceful and balanced way. And at the front of that is the recognition that people are unique individuals. They feel and think and behave uniquely. And if you start from a premise of understanding that to begin with, we will go a long way in balancing the energies of masculine and feminine extremes, Jacqueline. Mm. One of the other aspects of your book is you talk about the symbols of feminine masculine balance. What does that mean, Jacqueline?
Okay, so the masculine is a straight line. It's linear.
Yes.
So there's it's one-dimensional, it's beginning, middle and end. It can't turn back on itself, so it lacks reflection.
Uh-huh.
It is focused. It reduces things to one, which can lead to this either-or situation. And unfortunately that can then...
So black or white.
Black or white, either-or, yes. And traditionally the stories we've told... the way we've been educated in the world and the way we operate in the world are highly influenced by the masculine because we have had this patriarchal society for so long. The feminine is a circle, so it's continuous. Yes. It's got no beginning, middle and end, and it can turn back on itself, so it can represent reflection. It can also represent being holistic and inclusive.
Yes.
And, of course, nature operates that way. You know, the earth goes around the sun goes around the earth, days of the week, seasons and so forth.
It's true.
Mother Earth, Mother Nature.
Sorry, Jacqueline.
Yes. But...
light bulb moments.
But the downside of the circle is that it can be going round and round on a treadmill getting nowhere.
Uh-huh.
However, if you join a straight line... with a circle, you get a spiral. Now, the circle's two-dimensional. A spiral's three-dimensional. That is feminine masculine.
Oh, wow.
And it represents growth, movement, change, complexity, evolution. And we are complex beings living in a complex world. So if you think of our issues, you know, for example, climate change, it cannot be resolved in a linear way, in a straight line masculine way. You have people with blinkers. They're detached from all the other factors. They just said, no, we've just got to analyse this one thing. Can't be done. We need to evolve. You see, I see this as an evolutionary process. We need to evolve.
Agreed.
Able to deal with complexity. And complexity is a blend of feminine and masculine.
What an amazing way to look at solving the big world problems that we have. For instance, climate change. It really isn't going to take that straight linear view to solve it. It's going to take that spiral of we start here and we keep on evolving and moving up. Mm-hmm. I I actually think that we're living in such an amazing age, Jacqueline. I don't know about you, but I get really excited by these conversations from thought leaders across the world who are challenging the way that we think, challenging the way that we've done things, and moving humanity forward. So not everyone's going to move forward. Not everyone's going to spiral to the top, as you say, but that's the direction we need to take to solve lots of these big problems. So we've talked a little bit about how feminine masculine balance has the capacity to describe and resolve conflict. How does that relate to a conversation about greed and poverty?
Okay, so greed is a complex word that's being used in many ways. But if we just look at, and I want to say, I do not believe that every person who has a lot of money is necessarily greedy, because some people are actually very good at making money. And they're also good at managing it. And financial management is an important part of having money. However, there are people who have the mistaken belief, and this is a hierarchical belief, so that's masculine, that the more money they have, that's quantity, masculine, the more superior they are. And then but those people achieve it through causing financial violence in this right-hand column. So that's how it works. And it's the same with poverty. I mean, some people are in poverty because they're not managing their own lives very well. But there are an awful lot of people who are really violated financially, and therefore, and could at least be better off if we didn't have this sort of attitude that the more superior I am, the more money I have, the more superior I am. So that's how that relates.
One of my favorite subjects to talk about is inequality. And oftentimes, you can't talk about inequality without very masculine men getting very angry about the fact that we're actually talking about it. I disagree. I think that we need to be talking about this as often as humanly possible in quiet, reflective discussion. So let's discuss inequality and how you see that, how it is now, and how you see that evolving in the future, Jacqueline.
Yes, so there can be inequality on all sorts of levels. It can be gender, race, religion, whatever. But one thing to look at is row 9 in this table, which is independence, dependence, and interdependence. Those are the three. Okay. In our mass, we were talking about masculine words being good, feminine words being bad. So, independence is believed to be good. Dependence is believed to be bad. But if you think of these highly independent, these people who consider, very pride themselves in being highly independent, do they grow and prepare their own food? Do they manufacture the cloth and make their own clothes? Excuse me. Excuse me. And what about the dwellings they live in? Have they built those? And not only that, even if they were on a deserted island, they'd be dependent on the plants and animals for food, clothing, and shelter. So it's a complete fantasy that anyone is actually independent. So then once you realise that you are highly dependent on many, many people, once you have a lot of people are stuck in that right-hand column, what I call a masculine trench, don't develop emotional maturity, because that requires feminine masculine balance, emotional maturity. So, but once, if they got that emotional maturity to appreciate everything that everyone did for them, the farmers, whatever, all the people who do things for them, surely that will reduce the levels of inequality, because we recognize we are interdependent.
And we are. There's
We are
truly not
so
anyone
interdependent.
in. There's not anyone alive, not any human alive, I wouldn't suspect, except for perhaps those that live self-sufficiently somewhere where they can actually do that. For the rest of us, we are dependent on the people that grow, manufacture and produce our food and clothing, because you and I, we need to eat. And unless you're lucky enough to have your own gardens and orchard, then a lot of people do, but then you're still not growing the cotton that goes into your clothing. You're still not growing the wool that goes into a jumper, for instance. So that whole idea that you can't survive in this world without those interdependence is a powerful thing for people to understand, isn't it, Jacqueline? Because that then makes them realize or get to understand that nothing they do is without dependence on other people. And therefore, they shouldn't think that they're better than anyone else because of those relationships. Is that the correct understanding?
Yes, I think so. But most people who are self-sufficient they're dependent on the, you know, if they build their house out from trees, they're dependent on the trees, they're dependent on the plants. Most of them still get a certain amount from outside. But also, yes, it's an inter... There was one other thing I was going to say and it's escaped me. But, yes, we are interdependent, but it is really valuing what other people do. You know, it's valuing those people rather than taking them for granted.
Yeah. If you think about the current COVID situation, it's almost like the universe has looked down and said, okay, I need you guys to understand how your life, you need to value the people around you. So those wonderful little cashiers who do the packing of your groceries in the grocery store, those nurses who look after his sick, it's almost like the universe has gone, right, humanity, I'm going to teach you to value the people that you're interdependent on, groceries and nursing, et cetera, et cetera. So from that perspective, I think that's been one of the gifts from the whole virus conversation, and it's also given us back some time, forced a lot of us to sit with ourselves and think about where we are in the world and who we are and what we do. And also it's probably given a lot of people time to question their life. Am I living the best life I could? Am I living the life according to my life purpose? Am I balancing my energies? And it comes back to that feminine, masculine balance. Now I want to start in the final 10 or so minutes talking about the book, Jacqueline. Can you tell people how it came about and why you wrote?
I think maybe I've covered it to a degree.
You have.
I have. But it did evolve from the table, and it did evolve from my desire. Really, probably my greatest concern was violence, to resolve that. And as I say, one of the things is I'm actually more intuitive and holistic in my thinking, right? So I can sort of see a situation and I know intuitively this is how it needs to be resolved, but I couldn't explain it to anyone because that's left-hand column and I'm bringing across the right-hand column, break it down into rational, logical words to explain it, and that has actually taken me years. So, you know, and I watch the news and I think, yeah. But then I had to explain it. And so over a period of time, I developed a table and then I started writing the book around the table, and it's evolved and evolved. And you mentioned the pandemic. Well, I just added the 17th column to the table, which is contraction, expansion, contraction, equilibrium, because of the pandemic. So it is... It's going on and it's the whole thing is evolving. And in the book, we've only got 15 lines. Then I added the chaos, creativity and order after that. Now I've added, and there'll probably be other rows. And, of course, I would love people to not only use the table, this table, the way they want to, but experiment with other things and expand the other things and even have a look at, for example, a lot of... women are a bit upset that being strong is masculine and weak is feminine, because the masculine dominates and says that weakness is bad, which it's not. It's just, it just is. Okay. So if an athlete does only strengthening exercises without doing any passive feminine stretching exercises, their ligaments and muscles get so tight they're more prone to injury because they lack flexibility. And, of course, you see that in the workplace. You know, persons who've got a very strong personality and lacks resilience. Okay. So, but the other thing is that if you look at that continuum, where along that continuum does tenderness lie? And it's right down the weakness end, isn't it? And how inappropriate would be for a big, strong, macho male to use his strength on a newborn baby? Totally inappropriate. So weakness isn't bad. Weakness just needs to be expressed appropriately, as is strength. And so I'm just giving examples of the ways you can work with the table, because it just gives you insight, understanding of what's going on, and things make more sense when you work with the table.
I was just going to say, if you look at a problem, for example, if we looked at domestic violence, for instance, which is a huge problem across the world.
The whole world, yes, it's in the country.
The whole world. If you look at that, the root of domestic violence relates back to that idea that women are a possession of a man. And that's where your table comes in, because if you're thinking about solving the problem of domestic violence and you look at it from the table perspective, it will point you in the direction of what needs to happen and what needs to be developed to start fighting the scourge that is domestic violence. That's why you did the table, isn't it, Jacqueline, so that it provides almost a very simple, easy framework with which to try and solve some of the bigger problems. And then you come in with the collaboration it would take to use the table to work on, say, domestic violence. And we start to have better humanity, don't we? So just touching back on that fact, that and it's chapter two in your book is women are no longer a man's possession, and that therein is the root of domestic violence. If we were to wholeheartedly start educating our children from the get-go that women are not a possession of a man and no other human is a or belongs to another human being, that would go a great way towards solving the problem, wouldn't it, Jack?
Yes, I think that it's a lot more subtle than it used to be. In the old days, it's a lot more subtle. I mean, I got married in 1977. I refused to be given away at the wedding ceremony, even though I got married in the church, and I refused to change my name. Those are little subtle things. But I also want to stress, because to the men who are listening, that there are a lot of women perpetrating domestic violence, and I think that has they have learned from, you know, historically learned from men. It's a reaction against the whole society, the masculine dominated society. So, and I feel very sad for anybody, whether they're man, woman, trans, gender, diverse identities, whatever, if there's violence going on. So I think it's really, although the focus has been on men, it really is everyone, but it is still that masculine behaviour, and women can take that on too.
And if we teach our children from a very young age that they are not a possession of another human being,
that's right.
That actually educates them so that if a man or a woman treats them in that way, they know that that's the line. We need to get out of this relationship now versus, you know, staying and trying to make things work another one of the chapters that I loved in your book, we've talked about true democracy is politicians collaborating with one another for the benefit of all, which I absolutely adored because I look at politicians across the world and cringe, just cringe. The next favourite chapter for me was the concept that religion was set up by men for men. I thought that that was such a powerful chapter for you to write. Can you tell me a bit more about that, Jacqueline?
Oh, wow. Well, I think that if you look at the religious text, there's an enormous amount of misogyny there.
Yeah.
And they really have to be revised. They're not relevant to our modern day.
I agree.
And then if you look at the environment, I mean, there's a saying in the Bible about men having dominion over the earth. I mean, hello.
Yes.
So they're raping the earth by, digging up the coal.
Mining for minerals.
So, yes. And the thing is that religions, the basis of religions are really well-meaning and have very good basic principle. But it really, in this case, men have messed it up. You know, they really have messed it up and women have gone along with it. So
if you take the Bible, King James, the King James Version, which is one of the most popular versions, again, written by male scholars from a male perspective without...
Very much spin doctrine in that way.
For the feminine.
Yeah. For people who haven't seen my book, the cartoon is the priest saying Father, Son, and then Holy Ghost, and there's a woman standing there holding a little girl's hand, and the little girl's saying, "What about the mother and the daughter?"
Yeah,
that's the cartoon.
It's good. Oh, Jacqueline, what a wonderful conversation to have with you today. I am just so delighted that we could get you on Radio Tony today to talk about your book, Feminine Masculine Balance. For anyone who's listening, Payo will have put into the chat box the connections to find Jacqueline's book. But if you Google Feminine Masculine Balance, Jacqueline and her book and her website come up quickly, closely in a Google search. We've also got Jacqueline's information on radiotony.com under co-host. You'll find the link. There's a downloadable, wonderful presentation by Jacqueline. You can download the feminine masculine table in PDF, and there's all of Jacqueline's contact details, including her email and her website. I encourage you, if you've listened to this interview today and you've got questions or you want to understand more, please reach out and ask Jacqueline. She is... has wonderful wisdom around this subject. And what a privilege to have you on the show today, Jacqueline. We are just about out of time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tony. I've really enjoyed it. And thank you for the opportunity to spread the word because I'm really passionate about, I'm on a mission to get as many people as possible to know
Absolutely. And it's just about changing the way you think, really and truly. Just changing the way you think. Jacqueline McLeod, thank you so much for being on Radio Tony today. Listeners and watchers, that's the show for this week. We'll be back next week with another wonderful guest. Thank you, Jacqueline McLeod. Don't forget to jump on and find Jacqueline's book on Amazon. If you've missed this, just jump on radiotony.com, look under the co-host and you'll find all the links to Jacqueline and her information. Reach out, grab that book. It's fantastic. Especially for those women listening today, grab the book today. And that's your lot for this week. Thank you so much and bye for now.